Hey there, ever thought about what makes your heart beat a little faster?
Oh, you mean like when you discover a new track that just speaks to you?
Yeah, or finding a movie that you can't stop thinking about?
Well, get ready to feel that excitement all over again because Amazon Prime is here to take your entertainment and shopping experience to the next level.
Absolutely. Prime isn't just about getting your packages quicker. It's about diving into a world of endless possibilities. From the latest releases to exclusive content you won't find anywhere else.
And don't even get me started on the music. Prime offers concert specials that will transport you right to the front room. It's like being at the hottest gigs without leaving your living room.
I use Prime to tap in with some of my favorite artists' live shows from any and every genre of music.
Trust me, Prime is a game changer. It's like having a personalized superstore and entertainment hub right at your fingertips.
So why wait? Head over to Amazon.com/Prime and start experiencing entertainment like never before.
I got money on my mind. I'm just trying to get some dough. I ain't picking up my line unless it's money on the phone.
I did kind of want to like hop into some of the estate planning stuff with you. So for like anyone who is unfamiliar, what is estate planning? Because like we hear it, but you know, not everybody is familiar.
Estate planning really is just the orderly distribution of your assets. You have stuff. Eventually, you're not going to be here. So people and things and assets will be left behind. Where do they go? We just want to have a conversation about where does it go? So estate planning is just all about, this is who my children are. This is who my spouse is. These are my assets. This is what I own. This is what I don't own. This is what I owe. Mm-hmm. And this is how I want all of those assets and all of those people to be taken care of. And the hard thing about estate planning is people conflate estate planning with estate tax planning, because estate tax planning is for the wealthy. That means you have so much stuff that the federal government or the state government says, Dave is rich. Let me tax a certain portion of his assets. And if you have enough money where you're going to be in that situation, then you need to engage in estate tax planning. The problem, at least in America, is we confuse the two. And people think, because I'm not wealthy, I don't need to do estate planning. But estate planning is for everyone, because like I said, it's just the orderly distribution of your assets. Estate tax planning is for the wealthy. So I tell persons, don't get caught up in the value of your assets. Just focus on what you want to happen to those assets and to those people when you're not here. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm glad you said that, you spoke to that, because like, yeah, I never really thought about separating the two in that sense. So like with estate planning, is it just more so like wills and like trust and all that stuff?
Yeah, so estate planning is just the series of documents that you will use to distribute your assets, or the documents you'll use to name someone as your child's guardian if, God forbid, both parents passed away before they reached the age of 18 or 21, whatever the state says, right? That's what estate planning is. Estate tax planning takes it to the next level and it says, you're going to owe $3 million in taxes. What strategies can we implement to get your bill down to zero or get it down to as low as it can get and then figure out a way to pay it? That's a little bit of a different monster, but I get it. Like in American culture, even on movies, right? Like they always have this scene where there's like a super rich, wealthy family and they all gather around the TV for uncle or dad to have a will by the TV, the video will say, you get this. And so it creates this narrative that, oh, that's for the wealthy people over there. Mm-hmm. I don't need to do that in my family because I don't have a ranch, or I don't have a house to leave somebody. But it's really just the orderly distribution of your assets, because your assets will go to somebody somehow. Can we organize it and do it the right way?
Mm-hmm. So whenever someone doesn't have these documents in place, what does happen to that?
Oh, the state dictates what happens. So every state, if you die without a will, then it's called intestate. So Texas, New York, Michigan, all the 50 states, they all have a statute that says, if you die and you don't have a will, this is how we will distribute your assets. Typically, it's if you're married and no kids, we give it to your spouse. If you're married with kids, we'll split it some portion between spouse and kids. No spouse, all kids, give it to kids. And they'll just start looking for your relatives until... if you don't have anyone, then it goes to the state. And it's rare, but it happens. I have a guy right now that has, well, he's passed away, over $300,000 in a pension plan. No parents, no siblings, no children, no nieces and nephews. The money's just with the state of New York. The woman that he would have wanted to have it was like his little play niece, but they're not biologically related.
So the state not going
to
give
her nothing. The state is not recognizing that as a relationship, and he didn't have a will to say, I want her to have it. So that's just 300 grand sitting with New York, and they're like, thank you.
Dang. Wow. So can we kind of get into some of the documents that you would need to for estate planning? I know for sure one is a will. Mm-hmm. You talked about if you get sick or something, a power of attorney.
Yes.
Can we break down some of the basic estate planning documents you should have in place just to make sure that if you ever fall sick or die unexpectedly, this is what you should have.
Okay. So in my professional opinion, there's three documents that everybody should have. There's a whole host of different types of estate planning documents, but these are the three I think everyone should have, and then we can sprinkle in some other stuff. I think everyone should have the emergency documents. That's the power of attorney and the healthcare proxy. That means I'm incapacitated. Something has happened to me, and I'm naming my agent and giving them the right to make decisions on my behalf. So I love the analogy of LeBron James. Huge LeBron James fan. Don't say nothing about it. he has an agent. He doesn't go to every single meeting. He can't possibly do that, right? So he said, this is my agent, make these decisions for me. So you have the right to say, Jalen, if anything happens to me, you can sign contracts. You can make decisions for BWR. You can have access to my checking and my savings account. That's the power of attorney. Or you can say, you can make these decisions from a healthcare perspective, because the doctor's going to want to look to someone if you're incapacitated. Coma, Alzheimer's, dementia, you're just in surgery and you shouldn't be able to talk during surgery, right? Unless it's, you're under the knife, you're under anesthesia. Who can make decisions on your behalf when you're incapacitated? So I love to start there, because people think estate planning is just a will and it's only necessary if you have assets. But just naming someone your power of attorney or naming someone your healthcare proxy agent is important, because I could, God forbid, have a car accident today. I'm not dead. I'll probably recover, but I need someone to come in and say, to just act as my healthcare advocate, essentially.
So in that situation, if someone were to get an accident and they would need a power of attorney for a specific period of time until they recover, is there a difference between just that and another? Because I've seen something along the lines of durable power of attorney versus
the springing. So durable means that power starts right now. Mm-hmm. So if you're the principal, the person who's creating the document, if the power of attorney is the principal, I can be your agent. So the moment we both sign this, it's notarized, it's witnessed, I have the power to do everything that's in that document right now. Like, I can go to your bank right now. Durable means right away the power starts. The pros of that is I don't have to prove that you're incapacitated. Mm-hmm. See, with the springing, you might say, Lil, you only get that authority after I become incapacitated. Well, now I got to go to the court and get different doctors' opinions to prove that he's incapacitated. That takes time. What if I need to start making decisions for you really quickly? The durable power of attorney allows me to do that right away, but it's super powerful. So you need to make sure you trust me.
Yeah, I
was just about to say, man, you better make sure you trust that person.
Choose well, and these are all flexible documents. So if you and I have a falling out, or I tell you, listen, I'm moving to Timbuktu literally, and I don't think I can do that for you all the way across the earth, then just change it. All of this can be changed.
Okay, I guess that was another part of it too. Yeah. I figured with durable power of attorney, it may have been once you do this, since you're legally giving them the right to be your representative, they would have to be the person to go to the court.
Oh no, that's too much. That's a lot. I didn't say you could do all of that. No, give them the authority to make decisions for you while you're incapacitated. You trust this person, so you give me that power. You know I'm not going to your checking account right now. Mm-hmm. I'll only go there if I absolutely have to. You're incapacitated. Your landlord is like, I'm sorry to hear that. Where is his rent check? I don't want to pay it out of my account, so I can go to your account and pay it, right? It's that type of stuff. And I always tell people, even if you don't want to do it for yourself, think about your parents. A lot of us will be responsible for caring for our parents and our grandparents. do you have the authority to make that decision for your mom, for your dad? You can't just go up in there and say, well, that's my mom. I can have access to her checking account. Bank of America don't care about that.
No. Yeah. Where's the power?
Where's the power? Exactly.
Show me the paperwork.
Show exactly legal paperwork. And even then they'll scrutinize it with the microscope because they don't want to be sued and have mom say, you shouldn't have allowed my daughter to take my money out of my checking account. So they're going to scrutinize it as well. So that's important to have. And the other thing that people forget is this document is only powerful as long as the principal is alive. So I can only be your agent as long as you're alive. Mm-hmm. When you pass away, I don't have any authority. And it's not uncommon for people to come to me and say, I have my mom's power of attorney and her bank is not allowing me to do it. I was like, oh, okay, where's your mom? She died 3 months ago. Well, that's why they're not letting you. Mm-hmm. Your power's gone. Then you need to go to the will. So there's levels to this. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So power of attorney is the first document mm-hmm. you would have in place. So is the next level the will, or what's the next level?
Power of attorney, healthcare proxy. I would start with those two mm-hmm. simultaneously. No need to like split it up and all of that.
So what's a healthcare proxy? That's just like you said, if I'm incapacitated, mm-hmm. I'm under the knife.
Right.
Maybe, God forbid, they got to pull a plug.
Right.
That's the person that they're looking for.
Yeah, so the power of attorney, you're giving the agent to make legal mm-hmm. and financial decisions for you. And the healthcare proxy is you're giving that agent the authority to make medical decisions for you. It could be the same person, or if you want to split it up, you can do that. But power of attorney, the legal, the paperwork, the money, healthcare proxy, all things related to your health.
Mm, okay.
For the most part. Yeah.
Well, thank you for that explanation.
The third document is the will.
Yes.
So for wills, like, do you have to go to an attorney? Because I mean, we just kind of talked on that, the video will idea.
Yes.
do you always have to go through an attorney for a will to be considered like legal?
No, you don't. You can create your own will. You can get it from all these services online who will be named, will remain nameless. the pros and cons, listen, if you're really, really strapped for money mm-hmm. or really, really strapped for time and you want to go on suchandsuch.com and get a will, you can do that. As long as it's signed, as long as it's witnessed, as long as there's a notary, it's still valid. So I'm not going to tell people not to do that because that's better than nothing. Mm-hmm. But the downside of that is it's a software system. So it's assuming the user knows what they're doing. It's like me going on to TurboTax and I'm just following the prompts. I'm like, I hope I'm following the prompts, right? Right?
Yeah.
I hope this refund is real. So
I hope I don't be in jail Friday.
That wasn't on my agenda to go to jail this week. Let's hope everything works out. So there's a bit of user error. As your life and your dynamics change and your needs change, you still have an old stale document. The .com website is not going to email you 5 years from now. It's time to renew your document. Probably not, right? And then as the law changes in your jurisdiction, you don't know because that's not your area of expertise. Like maybe there is some new aviation law in Arlington that just passed. I don't know that. I'm not in aviation. So I suggest working with someone who lives with, not literally lives with you, but they know what's going on with you. They have a relationship with you. They can make changes. They can say, oh, you got married. Oh, you got divorced. Oh, you bought your second property. Oh, you started this business. Oh, you sold this business. They can let you know how the laws have changed. They have a relationship with you and your family so that after you pass away, they can come to you to help do the next phase, because there's estate planning while we're alive and we're getting all the paperwork together. And then there's estate administration after you've passed. Now let's do what the documents tell us to do. That's a whole nother beast.
Yeah.
So having someone who was there from the beginning, I know it's not perfect. It doesn't always happen that way, but it makes it easier.
It makes it a whole lot easier if you got a person that you can refer to instead of a dang computer generated piece of paper.
Exactly. Exactly.
So
when something happens to your kitchen, you might say,
this is ludicrous.
But that won't fix your home. That will only get you the rapper, Ludicrous.
Having trouble? Don't panic. Don't be alarmed. You need to file a claim? Holla at State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
That's right. You can file a claim on the app or call us.
Thanks, Mr. Chris.
No matter how ludicrous the situation, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
State Farm, Bloomington, Illinois.
What you got?
I was just about to ask about the written out part, because you said you can also write it out, correct?
It depends upon the state that you're in. So that's called a holographic will. Not every state recognizes holographic wills. So you'd have to look up in your state if they allow that. If they do, you could do it, but I still wouldn't recommend it. But yeah, only there's some, not a lot of handful of states do that. Some states will be like, oh, you know, if you're on your literal deathbed, we'll allow you to do that. But it's not the most common way.
Sound like some Louisiana would say.
Yeah, that's
about 20, 40 years behind everything.
Yeah, Louisiana probably still letting it rock.
But, like, you can put it in the sand, write it here with your finger.
You know, just sign.
Write it in sugar cane.
Lily, you just mentioned a state administration before mm-hmm. that. So with a state administration, as you having the attorney in place and all that, and you talked earlier on the interstate part, where does the probate courts fit into this?
That is a great question. That's the administration part. So mm-hmm. think of a state in two parts, the estate planning, we're getting everything together, we're alive, we're healthy, we're putting together the documents, I'm making sure the documents do exactly what you wanted to do. The estate administration is, okay, unfortunately now this person has passed away, we need to take this will to the probate court. Probate is just the process of proving that this will is valid. The court's looking at it to make sure, was he coerced? Do we have proof that this is his signature? These people that he names in his trust or his will, excuse me, not the trust, trust doesn't go through probate. These persons that he names in his will, are they alive? Like, what's going on here? The court has a vested interest in making sure that your assets pass according to the way that you said they want them to pass, because otherwise, then what's the point of doing any of this? If I can create a will and then someone does the complete opposite, why did I do any of this, right? So probate is that. If you don't have a will, then you don't do probate. You do the estate intestacy that I spoke about mm-hmm. earlier, where you're still going through the court, but now you're bound by the statute in the state and not your instructions. Exactly. So they don't, New York doesn't know. I mean, I'll die. My husband gets everything, but they might not know he's not good with money. They might not know he has an addiction. They may not know he's already independently wealthy and I really wanted that to go to so-and-so. Mm-hmm. They don't know that I wanted to give that to my alma mater. They're just like, she died. She didn't have a will. Oh, she got this dude. Okay, he gets it.
Just like that.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
So that even more to have that will.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Blended families, that's a reason to have a will. Again, people who have minor children. Just think about, I'm not here, my child's other parent is not here, whether or not you're in a relationship or not, it doesn't matter. Two of the parents are now gone, we got a 7-year-old, we got a 16-year-old. That whole, like, my mom will take care of them, you don't know that. I tell people all the time, death and money changes things very, very quickly. So who takes care of your child? Who gets your home? All these people single and balling, I got my condo, da, da, da. Okay, if you're not married and you don't have kids, who gets that?
Mm-hmm.
Just, you don't have to be wealthy to have these conversations.
Mm. And that's very, very interesting. Even like you said, like, even if you up and coming and you still got this money, like,
yeah,
it could, someone else can benefit from it. Yes. Even like you said, your schools, like, maybe you were a person who grew up in a homeless shelter and you might have like a homeless shelter you want to donate to or something like that. So exactly. That's very, very interesting to think of it that way. I never really thought of it like that.
It comes in handy. I have a client right now who's, she's leaving quite a bit of money to all these pet organizations. And I'm like, ma'am, are you sure? to the what? To the Squirrel Society?
I hope she's not leaving it to Carol Baskin. Squirrel
Society. You want to leave how much to the Squirrel Society? But guess what? She has every right to do that.
Because it's her money.
Because it's her money.
And she's putting it on paper.
And she's like, my kids ain't been doing shit. So I'm going to give it to this cat society.
I'm going
to
give it to her squirrel.
Give it to the squirrel.
They're
going to
be hurt whatever. Hey, tell
her. Actually, she's looking to adopt somebody. I call her every week, every day.
So, but she has the right to do it. She has the right to do it. And I mentioned earlier about how, remember, everything you own will eventually be owned by somebody else. I used to live in Jersey. And there was a really nice area in New Jersey called Montclair. And there used to be estate sales. You know what that is? That means you owe money, but you didn't do proper planning. And now we need to start selling stuff to give money to the IRS. Now I got your stuff. I got your vintage plate set instead of you giving it to your son, which is what you wanted. Planning is just about who's getting my stuff when I'm not here. I want to make sure it goes to the right person at the right time in the right way.
See?
I got money on my mind, I'm just trying to get some dough. I ain't picking up my line unless it's money on the phone.
Hey there, ever thought about what makes your heart beat a little faster?
Oh, you mean like when you discover a new track that just speaks to you?
Yeah, or finding a movie that you can't stop thinking about?
Well, get ready to feel that excitement all over again because Amazon Prime is here to take your entertainment and shopping experience to the next level.
Absolutely. Prime isn't just about getting your packages quicker. It's about diving into a world of endless possibilities, from the latest releases to exclusive content you won't find anywhere else.
And don't even get me started on the music. Prime offers concert specials that will transport you right to the front row. It's like being at the hottest gigs without leaving your living room.
I use Prime to tap in with some of my favorite artists' live shows from any and every genre of music.
Trust me, Prime is a game changer. It's like having a personalized superstore and entertainment hub right at your fingertips.
So why wait? Head over to Amazon.com/Prime and start experiencing entertainment like never before.